So they took a nerve out of my leg and they put it in my neck. So like you can kind of see a scar and stuff. And I didn't get any movement back, but what I got was feeling in my arm, which was the worst possible outcome. Another thing that happened is I got restless leg syndrome in my neck. So that was also super cool.
What?
For that, for the lead. Yes! For that to the three.
He's got his J-back, folks, and the eye of the tiger.
This is From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette, presented by Eddie. Happy people make for a happy business. And now, your hosts, Spencer Linton and Jimmer Fredette.
Episode 3, let's do this. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jimmer Fredette, and we call this program From the Logo, our deep range conversations about life in and well beyond the world of sports. Jimmer, how is life over the past week, my friend?
Life has been great. Always a highlight to get on this podcast. And it's just a great time of the year. I just love being, starting to turn a little bit into fall. And I was just unbelievably impressed with our second guest, Jeremy. Jeremy was awesome. Make sure if you haven't listened to go back and listen to Jeremy. He's got a ton of crazy and great stories. Very spiritual guy. He's mission president and someone who is definitely very faith-based, but pitched in the World Series, won a game, just like amazing shoe collection, Backstreet Boy fan, all of the things. So we got into everything with him and it was fun to be able to chat with him.
We ran the gamut with him, and we will do that on this podcast often. There is no limit to what we can discuss with our guests, and frankly, between you and me. Once again, our purpose in this podcast is pretty simple. It's to uplift, educate, and entertain our listeners and viewers using a bunch of different topics, ranging from current events in Jimmer's life, my life, and our featured guests' lives. And we love speaking with guests who excel at whatever they do in whichever profession they work. And maybe most importantly, Jim, are realizing they are just like all of us.
They literally are. They're human beings just like all of us. They're just trying to live their lives. They're trying to have fun. They have good times. They have bad times. And then we try to figure out how they deal with them. And we want to know because they're so relatable in every sense of the way, whether it's on a big stage or not, they have something relatable to everyone. And we want to just bring that out of our guests. We want to make sure that we're hitting all the topics. And it's just fun to be able to do this podcast with you and be able to get on such great guests. I mean, without our guests, we'd be nothing, Spencer. Mm. That's how it works.
Well, you're worth something, Jimmer.
I guess.
A little bit. A little. ask your wife and kids if you're ever doubting.
It's true.
All right. Let's get triple threat stance, Jimmer. Okay. Triple threat. Let's go.
Beef. Everyone knows what beef balance, eye, elbow. Let's get into our spot. Let's go.
Yes, because we are into our opening tip-off. And that, of course, features our starting lineup today, which features one of the greatest humans I have ever interacted with. He is a 3-time Super Bowl champion and is currently the assistant special teams coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid's left-hand man, he is Porter Ellett. Amazing human, Jimmer.
Yes, he is such a good person. And he's been through a lot. Let's just put it that way. He's really obviously been through a lot. Not just necessarily, obviously, he has one arm. And you'll see that, you'll hear about it. People that have watched the ESPN special understand a little bit about who he is and what he does for the Chiefs. And he's continued to progress as the Chiefs, but he's had the odds kind of stacked against him his whole life, from a young age, having the accident and then being able to try to figure out how to get into football because he didn't start in football. We'll go over that. He started in a different profession and then decided like, I love football. I want to be a coach. I want to do this. And then goes through the whole gambit there and he just persists through it all. And it's really incredible to listen to him, to hear the stories. He's got a bunch of stories about Coach Reid. That's super fun that we'll be able to hit with him. And also, we have to talk about Taylor and Travis. Like my wife would would not be happy if we did not talk about Taylor Swift. The Swifties would come after us. We do not want that from the Logo podcast. We are a Swiftie friendly podcast. So we're going to talk to him about this and, just get into some stuff with the Chiefs as well and the outlook of the season. But it's going to be a great episode.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have never been to Kansas City, right?
I have not. I've been pretty much everywhere on this planet, due to basketball. And I have not been to Kansas City, and it's not very far. And I need to get to Kansas City. I need to come go watch a game. Maybe Porter can give me some tickets. Porter can give me some tickets.
He might know somebody. Just throwing that out there. But we got to get you to Kansas City so that you can experience Arrowhead Stadium and, frankly, Kansas City barbecue. Are you a barbecue guy?
Love barbecue. Love barbecue. And I've heard Kansas City barbecue is some of the best. You know, the people in Texas obviously would not be happy about me saying this. The people in Memphis would not be happy with me saying this, right? But I've heard it's some of the best. So I got to have a little combo of each and see which one I like the best. But I haven't been to KC to try it authentically yet. So I can't give that determination. I've tried the other spots, but I got to get to KC so I can try that out. And then I can give you a firm determination of which one's the best.
Let's get Jimmer to Kansas City. In fact, for those watching and listening, send in your recommendations for the first barbecue restaurant Jimmer needs to visit when he inevitably does get to Kansas City. That'll happen. In fact, yep. I'll go with you, dude. Let's just let's go. Let's eat barbecue.
Live pod in Kansas City.
We may speak that into existence.
There we go.
Good stuff. Okay, some top of mind thoughts before we get into what is going to be an incredible conversation with Porter Ellett, centering on stories from our lives over the past week. Notably, football is back, man. It's good. It's hoodie weather. Temperatures are dipping. Colors start to change very soon. I love the fall. My favorite season of the entire year. Every year, it's always about the fall.
No better time of the year. Like, there just isn't. And if someone says there is, they're wrong. I'm so sorry. Whoever you are that doesn't think that fall is the best. I love it. Football is back. We've had obviously some amazing games already that have been on the slate. And I love college football. I love NFL football. I honestly probably like watching football more than I like watching basketball at this point in my life. Like, I am a massive football fan. So, we'll have to get into that and talk a little bit about football with Porter and some of our guests as we have coming up, because I like to just talk football, and it's the best time of the year. Halloween's my favorite, my wife's favorite holiday. And, we go all out for it. So we're pumped. We couldn't be in a better time of the year.
So many follow-up questions I want to ask on what you just said, but we'll just keep it to one. What's the best Halloween candy, Jimmer?
I'm going with Reese's. Reese's is my favorite. I am a chocolate peanut butter fiend. Anything that has chocolate peanut butter in it, I am going to get, whether it's ice cream, cookies, Reese's, doesn't matter. Chocolate peanut butter is the combination. That is my final answer, is the Reese's Pieces. What about you?
Hard to argue against Reese's peanut butter cups. Yeah. I'm going to channel my inner Mike Leach, rest in peace to one of the great football coaches of all time, and go with Nerds gummy clusters, dude. Like,
wow, you're going fruity.
They're so good. Are you surprised?
No, that's I will say though, I used to love people like yourself or like my kids. Because I would be like, I will give you everything. I will give you all my Tootsie Rolls. I'll give you all my lollipops. I'll give you the Sour Patch. I'll give you anything. Just give me all the chocolate. Give me anything that's chocolate and peanut butter, and I will
trade.
Go ahead. We will trade. You throw them. You got the pillowcase over your shoulder. You go to the, your kitchen table. You throw it on the kitchen. The whole thing. You throw it all out there, and you just start trading with your siblings, your friends. And I would just hustle people. Absolutely hustle people on the trades.
It's been happening for a long time, Jimmer. You've been hustling people for a long, long time.
That's right. I might have a smile on my face, but I still want to get after it,
You share that in common with our guest today, Porter Ellett.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, I know, listen, you just mentioned you love watching football, but I got to ask you at least one basketball question before we get to the 3x3 update at the end of the pod. And that is based on the TikTok phenomenon post from your wife, Whitney Fredette. Jimmer, can you touch the rim? Like, legitimately, can you touch the rim right now?
Oh, gosh. Whitney is getting me in so much trouble. I mean, gosh, doing the TikToks there. It's going viral. Like, it is going viral again. I had someone at the airport be like, hey, I just saw your TikTok about your wife seeing if you could touch the net and then touch the rim. And I'm just like, gosh, what's going on here? Whitney is crushing it on TikTok. And yes, I can touch the rim still. Who knows if I can dunk? You know, I haven't tried that in a long time, but I can touch the rim. And I'm going to have to put a video out there to at least show people that I can grab rim. You know, maybe two, I might even go up two hands and grab it. You know what I mean? I can still do that much. And you obviously know that, you know, I don't need to touch the rim, right?
Absolutely.
It's all about that jumper.
We need some of those amazing edits from the movie Teen Wolf. If you've seen the movie Teen Wolf, where like this harsh cutaway where you're jumping from the bottom and then all of a sudden you're like 7 feet above the rim, throwing it down.
One of the greater basketball movies out there that people sleep on. I'll tell you that much. Teen Wolf is amazing.
Oh, Michael J. Fox,
right? Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. The Wolf. Okay, last thing here in our top of mind thoughts, because I know you're a tennis guy, and I've shared the story with you ad nauseum about my involvement covering at the time what was called the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells, California, watching you play against New Mexico. Not a joke. Legitimately having Novak Djokovic, who we shared a cafeteria, media and all of the players, the top players in the world, we shared a cafeteria. He and his team are preparing, I'm sure, for his next match, talking analytics, but he's in the way of the TV and he can tell that I'm trying to watch the game while he asked me, do you need me to move? And I was like, that's very nice, Novak. That would be great. So he actually moved out of the way so that I could watch you drop a BYU record 52 on New Mexico. Novak, to me, that day, he not because of what he accomplished on the court, Jimmer, he became a legend in my mind for his awareness and his kindness to get out of the way so that I could watch you make history in college basketball.
That is an incredible story. And Novak probably hates me to this day because of it. He's like, who is this guy on the TV that he needs to watch? He's probably like, what is going on? And now he probably knows about the Serbians 3x3 basketball, right? Because they all know each other and they all support each other. And I'm sure he's played it. And he's probably seen us and he's probably like, that guy, that was the guy on TV that Spencer needed to move out of the way for. So that is so funny. But I am a huge tennis guy. Just got back from the US Open. It's my favorite sporting event to go to.
In person.
Like, live. In person. Mm. Live. I've been to a bunch of them. Been to, obviously, a ton of basketball games, football games, all this stuff. US Open is amazing, partially because I'm biased. I love being in New York City, you know, the home state. I love being in New York, going and getting all the great food that the city has to offer and the desserts and riding through Central Park. And we just have a blast. But the actual venue is amazing. It's high level athleticism. They hit the ball so hard you don't even realize it until you get there and you're just like, man, these guys and girls are just crushing the ball. I don't even know how they get to it half of the time, right? And it's a fun venue to be at, so excited. It was super super impressed this year again, and just love being at the US Open.
One of the highlights of my professional broadcasting career happened not just with Novak when he moved out of the way of the TV, but interviewing Rafa Nadal at center court after he won in 2013 was a pinch myself moment. I thought, literally amazing. Just me and Rafa, center court.
So cool.
We were the only news station there covering it. And just unforgettable. And what a champion he is. Like, super humble, approachable. That guy is amazing. So tennis for the win. There's only one way to close out this segment, Jimmer, and that is with our bad dad joke of the week. And truth be told, you haven't heard this.
No, I haven't heard it. I'm apologizing in advance to everyone. I haven't heard it yet, but still I'm apologizing.
But it's related to tennis, okay?
Okay.
I will take all the heat for this. Bring it on. You can boo me into oblivion. It's okay. We're doing this. This is your bad dad joke of the week. and it's related to tennis. Okay, Jimmer, just want you to know, I had a quiet game of tennis today. There was no racket.
Oh, gosh. This guy over here. No.
It's so bad.
My goodness. You can't have a quiet game of tennis. You can't have a quiet game of tennis. Doesn't even make sense. The joke doesn't even make sense. It's always loud, right? Like
I'm being booed by text messages from people.
It's coming through.
The productions.
You're like, that was awful. Man, might have to get rid of that.
We might actually have to edit that out. It was so bad, we had to take it out.
No, we got to keep it in. Keep it in, Hema. Keep it in.
Oh, so good. All right. We're going to take our first break by necessity. And when we come back, Porter Ellett, three-time Super Bowl champion and assistant coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, takes on the full court press. We're going to ask him what adversities, obviously, aside from losing his arm as a young boy, have changed his life and have pushed him into the success that he is enjoying today. When From the Logo, presented by Eddie, continues. This episode is brought to you by Eddie, the HR software built for small businesses who put people first. At Eddie, we believe work isn't just about payroll or paperwork. It's about people, culture, and the everyday wins that make life meaningful.
Eddie helps leaders spend less time on HR headaches and more time building teams that thrive.
Welcome back to From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette. It is time once again for the Full Court Press. And our latest VIP guest is the pride of Loa, Utah. Three-time Super Bowl champion as an assistant coach with the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid's left-hand man. And I should point out, an all-state baseball and basketball player in high school. And maybe most importantly, Jimmer, a guy who I won an intramural championship with in our BYU days. He is Porter Ellett. Hey. Welcome to the show.
Let's go, Porter. Thanks for coming. Man, first of all, I have a question for you right off the bat. How was it being Spence's teammate? I mean, I'm kind of his teammate now, but how was that in like a sense of like you were really getting after it? Man. You were, you know, in a position to win an intramural championship. Like, what was Spence like? I need to know this.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it was a lot like that intro right there. He's the ultimate hype guy. So every game was like, let's go, man. So let's have it happen. And he would say things like, if the outfield was playing me in and stuff, he'd be like, look, they're playing you in, man. Just hit it over their head. So he was awesome.
So he was the ultimate hype guy, but usually the ultimate hype guy is sitting on the bench. Was that the case in this?
No, man. Nah. Spencer's a sneaky athlete, man. He's a good athlete. He'll get after it.
All right. We'll put it to the test.
I want you to remember this, Jimmer. Don't make me pull out my academic All-State award for my senior year in high school, okay?
I gotcha. I know you could play a little. It's a little fun banter, you know?
One of the best Porter memories. And we got a shirt. We got the intramural shirt, which was coveted, you know?
I'm surprised it's not on your wall, Porter.
Well, it should be. I might have to hang it up there. Soon. I just got white walls. I look like I'm in a prison. So a little psychotic behavior going on. Football psychosis.
That's true. Football does that to you.
Oh, I love it. This was clearly the right decision to have you on the program, Porter. Yes. With that start, come on, man.
I'm glad you got me on here.
Hey, I want you to share with our audience something that you just told Jimmer and me a couple of minutes ago, and that is that some people in your classes at BYU at one point thought you were Jimmer Fredette. Is that actually a reality?
Yeah, true story, man. It's one of the better compliments of my life. Is that people thought I was Jimmer. I mean, because he's a good looking dude. And then I got out of school. There you go. I got fat. And now I don't get mistaken for Jimmer anymore. But they always used to like peek over their shoulder in class. And they'd be like, oh man, I thought you were Jimmer. I was like, yeah, I have one arm though. That's a kind of a giveaway. Huh? No, but I mean, I really need to thank Jimmer though. Because you made like my college experience awesome. Like for real. I was there in 2010. I appreciate that. 2011, and like you were so fun to watch and cheer for, and like, I mean, I'll tell my kids about you, and hopefully they can, you know, shoot from the logo, man. Go back there and do it. So you were phenomenal, though.
Well, I appreciate that, Porter. It's always great to have support, And, I can see the resemblance, right? I can see the resemblance. Here we go. I understand. There we go. You look great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, Porter, there are a lot of stories out there about how the whole left-hand man thing with your head coach, Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs, began. But because we have you on the program, let's just set the story straight. I think some people just give Andy the credit for it, but correct me if I'm wrong, you were the one that presented that idea, were you not?
Well, yeah, when he first called me, the explanation for the job, he went through like everything. You'll go everywhere I go, you'll be, you know, with me everywhere I do stuff, you'll just be all around. And I was like, all right. He's like, you're gonna be my right hand man. And he kept talking for a little while, and then at the end of it I was like, yeah man, sounds great. You okay with your right hand man not having a right hand? And he started to laugh. He goes, well, you can be my left hand man. So now every time he introduces me to people, he goes, that is my left hand man, Porter. So it stuck, which is awesome.
That is so great. That's a great segue. How did your relationship, kind of start with Andy Reid? How did that form, and how did you get to know Coach Reid and from the first time you met him?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good question. So his son-in-law, Devin Woodhouse, he taught at the MTC with me, Missionary Training Center. We both taught Spanish, and we became close friends. Like, quickly, he wanted to be a strength coach or work in sports, and I told him I wanted to coach. And he was like, well, if one of us makes it, let's, like, help the other one out. And we didn't know how it would happen. But he ended up dating this girl. We actually went on a double date with him once, and I knew her name, but I didn't know her last name or anything. And they got married, and it ended up being Coach Reid's daughter. And I was texting him during the season because I had a brother-in-law who was going to marry a girl in Missouri out here in the Temple. And we came out for it, and I was like, hey, what are you doing? I'd love to meet up. And he's like, well, I don't have any time, but if you want to come to the game, you can. So we came to the game, and after the game, we got to go to the family room, and we were, like, sitting there talking, and Tammy Reid came up and, like, started talking to us. And by the end of it, we just had her, like, dying laughing. Carly and I did, just, like, cracking jokes and having a good time. And Devin came out and was like, hey, what do you got going on? And they kind of, I guess, talked to each other, and they're like, he can come over to the house. So we went over to the house, and we met there hanging out, and Coach walked in. And Devin, like, played kind of a rude trick on me, but he was like, man, you're sitting in Coach Reid's seat when he walked in. So my first thing was like, man, my first introduction to Coach, and I'm sitting in his chair. And then, like, two years later, I was talking to Coach Reid about it, and I was like, God, they told me I was sitting in your chair. He's like, I don't have a chair. So they got me.
Playing mind games.
Yeah, exactly. At the end of that, though, I basically begged him, for a job. Not a job, but I basically said, like, I'd pay money just to follow you around because you're phenomenal at what you do. You know, like, I'll pay you, and I'll do whatever you want me to do to help. And he was like, well, something opens up. You know, we'll figure out a way to get you in here. So, I mean, to his credit, he took a shot on me, took a risk hiring me. And, I try to make him right in the best ways that I can.
Incredible story and backdrop there. And really, that's just scratching the surface. So from a timeline perspective, if you can, paint the picture of the years that this was going down, and then how that has now progressed to where you are with the Chiefs today. And I know there's a lot in there, but just kind of trying to understand how long it took you to make that happen and then progress to where you are today.
Yeah, that's good. It is quite the story. So I graduated from BYU in 2015. And when I graduated there, I was, I just kind of finished my economics degree. I got a great job at Goldman Sachs, which, like, most dudes would kill for. Which I was all right, here we go,
Such a great job.
Oh, and, like, great company, great people.
Yep.
So I'm working there, and I'm working a ton of hours, and then I'm commuting too. But I get home on the weekends, and finally Carly, my wife, she was like, you kind of seem, like you don't love what you do. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't, like, I grew up playing sports. I always wanted to be in sports, and now I work in finance. So no, I don't really love what I do. And she was like, well, what would you do if you, like, could do anything? I said, well, I'd coach, or, I'd work in football or work in the front office. And she said, well, what do you have to do that? And I said, well, the only way I know is to be a GA, like, go to college, get a master's degree, be a GA. So she was like, well, let's figure it out. Where do you want to go? And at the time, I was reading a book by Art Briles about the winning culture of Baylor. And I was like, huh, because I'd applied to San Francisco because I was a Giants fan. I liked the 49ers. I was like, well, if I go there, I could get a job there. And then I went to Baylor and just visited, and that just felt right. I was like, oh, I need to be here. So we ended up going to Baylor. And while I was at Baylor in my last semester, coach called me and offered me that job. But he didn't offer it right away. There were a lot of guys that wanted the job, obviously, which is humbling. Even after I got the job, it was like every day I'd get a letter from someone who wanted my job. So I'd like, I'd open the mail for coach, and they'd be like, hey, I want to have my job. I was like, oh, sweet. This is humbling. So, but that was a humbling experience. But then, so he ended up hiring me, but it was, I kind of felt like I had to convince him. So we went back and forth a few times, and he was like, I mean, I got a few guys I'm looking at. Finally, like as a last ditch effort, I was like, I'll send him a text. And it was like late in the evening. And I said, you know, hey, coach, I don't know what you're thinking, but if you hire me, I'll do everything I can to help you win a Super Bowl. And he was like, didn't respond. And then he called me the next day and was like, you know, I'll hire you. Like, come on up. Let's do it.
Hmm.
So I love ended that. Up here. Yeah, it was cool. And I left early at Baylor. And to their credit, they let me finish my degree online. So I was able to finish it. Started here. My first work assignment was Coach Reed came to me and was like, there's this quarterback down at Texas Tech. Like, we're kind of looking at him. We don't want anybody to know, you know, like this is a secret. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I know who he is. I said, right when he said quarterback from Texas Tech, I was like, oh yeah, Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked at me and was like, wait, whoa, whoa. Like, how do you know who he is? Like, this is supposed to be a secret. And I was like, well, I was at Baylor. He torched us every time he played us. Like,
yeah.
I'm talking 500 yards, 6 touchdowns every time he plays us. And he was like, oh, okay. So my first assignment, I went through and like watched all of Pat's stuff. And I was like, I made like cut ups for him so he could watch him. And I was like, dude, this kid's on like unreal. So we drafted him, and you can say that was like perfect timing. So been here 9 years, and I mean, everybody knows, you know, the history of it all and stuff, but it's been awesome to be a part of. Just grateful for the whole experience.
Listen, when I saw Patrick Mahomes ad lib and throw a behind the back pass against the Denver Broncos, I think either his first or second year as a starter with Kansas City on Monday Night Football on the road, I knew, Porter, I knew what you had known for so long about what a crazy athlete he was.
Yeah, just a freak show, man. Like those things where you're like, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah. Just the fact that he even thinks to do that stuff, right? Like most people wouldn't even consider doing that in an intramural game, right? Like Spence wasn't going to do that in his intramural flag football game. But Pat Mahomes is like, I can do this. I know that I can do this. And I have, you know, the confidence in myself to be able to make any play at any time. And that has made it so that he is as great as he is. But it's just incredible to see some of the plays that he makes. And yeah, Porter, I mean, you saw that early. You saw that early at Texas Tech. The Chiefs obviously saw that early and didn't want anybody to know. And it's just, yeah, it's pretty incredible to watch him play.
Yeah. It's a special type of courage. I mean, you know, you had that same thing, Jimmer, when you were in college, but like you're pulling up from the logo and people are saying like, what is he doing? Like, you're not supposed to do this. You know, like
my coaches were saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing here.
Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's the same thing here. I'll be watching the game and I'll be like, your player you're talking about where he like rolls left, he's getting sacked. He throws with the left hand.
Yeah.
It's like the coach is the whole time like, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap.
Don't do that.
Sweet.
Okay.
Like, that's gotta let him be him. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It was a left-handed pass. That makes
he's
it even
done a
better.
The
it wasn't even
too,
behind the back, but that was the,
that
right.
Too.
It was the left-handed pass.
Yeah.
But
he's done.
What in the world? Okay.
He's done both.
We'll get back to your perceptions of the Chiefs offense and the Chiefs team in general and the outlook on 2025 in just a moment. But if you can, you told me this story back in April about a high-profile coach's dinner you got invited to with Andy Reid at a steakhouse. And I thought it was so enlightening, just the natural emotions that you felt of being in a room with like so many high-profile coaches, and how Andy treated you, and then the steak story. I mean, to the point of like why you didn't order steak. So if you could share that with everyone again, I think everybody would really like that story.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, my first work trip was to go to the combine with Coach Reid.
And same thing there, like you're his right hand man or left hand man. So you go everywhere he goes, you know, you're driving places. And he got invited to this dinner and it was like on the schedule, you know, you got a dinner with former coaches. So I took him to the dinner and I was just going to drop him off and go park. It was like this really fancy steak place. And when I dropped him off, he's like, well, where are you going? And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to wait in the car, you know, like, I don't know, whatever. And he's like, well, do you want to come in? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, this isn't really for me. And he was like, well, yeah, but you might as well come in, like, come have a steak. And he knew, you know, I'm like, obviously country boy, steak and potatoes. Like, that's on the menu every day. So let's go.
Like, yeah, let's do this. Like, not very often I get to eat at a steakhouse like this. So
I was like, all right, yeah, I'll go park the car. So I went and parked the car and like got in there. When I walked in, it was like the who's who of like NFL coaches, like Steve Spagnuolo, you know, Sean McDermott, John Harbaugh, like Wesley Frazier, Brad Childress, like everybody from Coach Reed's tree that's like big time coaches. And as soon as I walked in, I was like, ooh, like one of us is not supposed to be here. and that's me. So I get to dinner and to their credit, they were like awesome, like the nicest guys ever. And I sat down and we were just, you know, they bring around the menu. I'm looking at the menu. I'm like, man, and obviously love steak, but when you eat steak with one hand, it's not like socially appealing. Yeah, it's not like socially acceptable even. It's very pretty barbaric. So I looked at the menu and I'm like, man. And they had salmon on the menu. So I was like, well, I'll get the salmon because like I cut that with a fork. I'll look at least acceptable. So they lean over, like they go around and do the orders and I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll get salmon, whatever. And coach leans over to me right after I make my order and he's like, you ordered fish. I'm like, yeah, I ordered fish. And then like a couple minutes later, he leans over again and goes, you ordered salmon. And I was like, yeah, coach. Yeah, I ordered salmon. And then like a third time, he leans over finally and he goes, you ordered the fish. Like super disappointed at me.
Yeah, just so.
Oh, just like, dude, what are you doing? And I finally, I was like, yeah, I know I ordered. And I was like, coach, I was like, I wouldn't have been able to cut my steak, you know, I wouldn't have been able to cut it. And he like leaned back in his chair and was like, oh, you know, kind of like this kid. It was the first time the whole meal where I felt like I had like embarrassed Coach Reed. It was like, oh wow. Like that was my order that did it to me. But then like my food comes out, I'm eating my fish. He's got like, oh, whatever, a steak. And I'm eating my fish and he leans over and like, hey, how's the fish? And just starts laughing at me. Like, it's good, man. It's good. And then he like quietly kind of cut up his steak. I watched him and then he leaned his plate over my plate and just like shoveled parts of his steak onto my plate. And I was like, thanks, coach. You know, I appreciate it. Ate it. And then as we were leaving, when we got ready to go, he was like, if you want to order the steak, you order the steak. Like, I'll cut your steak for you from now on. And to me, that's just like such a perfect illustration of the kind of person Coach Reed is, you know. And like, he had no reason to really care about like my situation or what I ordered or, you know, even care. But he did. And then to care enough to say like, no, I'll help you out. Like, I'll be your right hand man. And I'll take care of you. And that's the way he's been. I mean, my whole career, you know, just taking care of me and he takes care of people around him, which is special.
That's an incredible story. That just goes to show like what the type of person, like you said, that Coach Reed is, right? He's a genuinely good person. Like, he cares about others. He tries to live his life the right way. He's a follower of Christ. We all know that. He doesn't hide his faith at all. I know that you don't hide your faith either, Porter, which is always a great thing. I try not to as well. Mm-hmm. Try to be outspoken about it as much as we can, just try to bring people to Christ. But it's really, really awesome to see. But you know, in your position and my position in a professional situation where it's so cutthroat, mm-hmm. How does your religious devotion impact the way that you actually coach your team? You coach these guys that are out there literally fighting for their lives every day. These guys are trying to take each other's positions. They're trying to get on the field. They're trying to stay healthy. Like, how does that impact your coaching?
Yeah, that's it's hard because it's such like a fine line to walk between like pushing your faith on somebody to where that it's distasteful. And then just being an example of the believers, you know, like we're taught in the scriptures. But for me, oftentimes I just try to evaluate like my daily activities and do they align with what Christ would do? You know, like it, am I doing something that would bring someone closer to him or further away? And if I'm taking people and making them go further from him, then that's on me. I'm doing the wrong things. So I try to, you know, if they, I think a good example of what I'm really trying to say is like, do they, by knowing you, do they come to know Christ? And I hope that that's kind of the thing that I illustrate or I help push, you know, and with Coach Reed, I think it's definitely that way. So I try to be the same in my behaviors, you know, like, hey, you had a bad game already. Like you're down on yourself. You're struggling. Like the last thing you need is for me to come in and like make it worse. So how can I lift you up? How can I make you a better player? If you had a great game, like how can I help you build on that? Like, let's not settle for like one great game. Let's follow it up with another one. And it's amazing how many of like the church organizational things or even like on top of the teachings, obviously, help you become a greater coach. Just the way the church is organized, like so simple and like so supportive of each other and the communication that's there. So I mean, I think it bleeds into everything that you do and your testimony doesn't have to be, you know, like, hey, here's a Book of Mormon, like make sure you take it home with you. You know, like it can be, you know, I never say or do anything that's going to take you away from Christ. So I try to live my life that way. And then heck, if they, you know, if they catch me reading the Book of Mormon, like, here you go, man. Yeah. Like, here you go. You want a copy? Like, I'm reading this, or I'll quote this and say, no, that's found here. So if you want to read it, let's do it.
Porter Elliott is on From the Logo. Amazing interview thus far. And clearly your faith has been tested and tried and you've overcome significant adversities, Porter. Let's go back to the obvious one that eventually led you to amputate your arm. And just kind of want to get your perspective on what you remember about that day, because you were very young and you fall out of the back of the truck. And you've said before, like, things were kind of hazy after that. But what do you remember about that day and then coming to the realization that, wow, things are never going to be the same for me?
Yeah. Yeah, that's I don't really, just to your point, I don't really remember a lot. I remember, you know, riding in the back of the truck, kind of falling out of the back of the truck. And then after that, not much. And then I just kind of pieced together stories that people have told me. But when I hit my head so hard, and it's funny because not funny really, but I talk to these players, sometimes they'll get like a stinger and I'm like, oh, like I had a stinger, but it was so bad. It like ripped the nerves out of the spine. So
I'll be like, kind of get it, fine. But I don't. Yeah.
You guys are fine.
It'll sting for a minute.
You're soft, Elsie.
Nah, never. But it's so funny. But yeah, so I hit my head so hard that it just tore all those nerves out, scalped me, fractured my skull, like all those things. And then my dad, you know, he had to like gather me up. He talks about, because they went to give me a blessing, a priesthood blessing after it happened, and he had to pick my scalp up, like literally, and put it back on top of my head before he gave me a blessing. So like crazy. Yeah. And then I gained consciousness after that, but they had to life flight me to Salt Lake. And then I guess when my parents got up there and everything, all I was talking about was baseball, and I got to ride in a spaceship, you know, all these things, funny things. So, but my great memories after the surgery, I remember like going through phases of like being pissed off about it, being angry about what had happened. And then like understanding, the first time I understood that I was like different, I have a memory of being in the hospital, like walking with an IV thing attached to me and looking out a window and being able to see other kids playing like basketball and in a park. And that was the realization of like, oh, it's going to be different from now on. Like, I'm not going to be a normal kid and I'm going to have to deal with this my whole life. So that was hard. And then it doesn't really go away either. You just kind of deal with it. But to me, I didn't realize I was like handicapped until people would tell me. And I think it's an important lesson for how to treat people with disabilities and stuff. You don't need to make it about the disability, you know, like you just treat them normal and then like let them learn on their own and let them handle their own struggles the way that they are. But for me, that was like, I'd be struggling with things, or I'd be playing baseball or like having fun doing whatever I love to do. And people would be like, oh man, is it hard to be disabled?
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, wait, I am disabled.
You know, like what do I do? What do I do with this information now? Like, do I, am I not as good now because I'm disabled? But it's just an interesting thing. And then I think, too, it really illustrates like any struggles you have. You can't really judge anybody because I would never like wish my struggles on other people. But there's a lot of their challenges where I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm not built for that one. Like, you go ahead and keep that one. So, but you do love teammates and people that just treat you normal, you know, like, hey, you know, catch the ball, like do whatever. Some of the best guys here, you know, there's a lot of great guys here that were that way when I started the job. We're just like, he's out here. He's one of us. So,
yeah, no, I love to hear that. It's so interesting. I mean, to me where, you know, you easily could have just been like, I am disabled and I can't do these things. That could have been something that crept into your mind at a young age. Right. And you did it. You continue to go and after the things that you loved. You wanted to play baseball, all state in baseball and basketball, right? Like that's amazing. And just not even just the sports aspect of it, but also in your life, you know, talking about your coach, how you got into to the Chiefs and with Coach Reed, you just have had such great determination and persistence in your life. And I want to know where that stems from. Like, where did you get that? Where did you get to be so determined? Where did that persistence come from? And because not everyone has that, but the greats do. And I'm curious of your mindset on that.
It's weird because being members of the church, I think there's a lot of like streaks of rebellion in our blood. You know, I don't know. Like, I think my parents, like my ancestors, like I have all these stories. I read my family history and I'm like, yeah, no, like whatever you tell them they can't do, they're certainly going to do. And when you tell them like, hey, you're different, they're like, yeah, that's good. Like, I'm good with that. So I think my mom, my dad, you know, they taught me like, it's okay to walk alone. Sometimes it's okay to be alone and to struggle through things on your own. And I mean, I loved the things I loved. Like, you know, I feel like I didn't really choose. I didn't really choose basketball or baseball or football or, you know, track or cross country. Like, I wanted to compete in life. And I think competition chose me. You know, I don't think like I was, hey, you know, I'm going to choose to compete. I think I was born to compete. And that was just kind of like the way it was. And then my parents obviously nurtured that. Like they said, hey, you know, you go out and you do like do the best you can and go out there and try to show people what you can do. And I mean, sports, like I love sports. Like I love sports because of that, because it was really the only place where I could be normal. And it really didn't matter like, because the arenas, like the fields, the stadiums, like the fans are going to say whatever they want outside of the, like, you're still going to hear it. I heard it all the time, obviously, but like, yeah. Once you get between the lines, like, I mean, screw them, you know, like,
I'm here. I'm either going to beat you or we're not.
Yeah. And you have to deal with me. Like, that's that was the awesome thing for me was like, all right, you cocky, like 15-year-old, like, cool. You can say whatever you want, but here, let's go. Yep. Like, let's go now you have to play against me. So let's see how that happened. Like, let's see how it shakes out. Yeah. And I mean, I loved embarrassing people. Like, I mean, it sounds really bad to say, but like, I loved that. I loved like,
I get
hey
it.
Man, you just got owned by the one-arm kid. Yeah, you did. And I'm going to do it again. Like, and I hope your girlfriend sees it. I hope your mom sees it. Like, I hope everybody sees it because I'm going to do it again. So.
That's great.
But that's like the competitor in me. Like, I want to ruin your day. And that's fine. And if you don't want your day ruined, then go practice and we'll figure it out later. You can try again tomorrow. But that's like what I love about being here with the Chiefs. When we first got here too, like our very first game, regular season game, we went to New England. And I still remember this like distinctly. The morning of the game, the newspaper in the lobby said undefeated season, like with a question mark, you know. And they were celebrating their Super Bowl ring that day of that game. And I remember like thinking, man, I hope one day like people hate us as much as they hate the Patriots. Like I hope that they do. And I remember thinking like, oh, that would be awesome if that would happen. And then we went out that day and I was like, man, I hope we spoil like their party. I hope we ruin their day. And we did, we beat them like pretty soundly. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then now like 9 years later or whatever, I mean, people hate us for all the right reasons, you know, like, I'm good with it. And then I hope we're not there yet. I don't think, but like, eventually, I hope we are. I hope we're like, you know, everybody either love them or you hate them, and that's fine. Like, That's what we wanted. That's what I wanted.
Porter Elliott is on From the Logo. We continue just what has been very insightful, entertaining conversation. And before we push forward to the outlook on the Chiefs season, I do want to ask one more follow-up question, Porter, about your decision to go ahead and amputate your arm, because that was yours. And your parents were like, no, you have to decide. And from the stories that you tell and have done previously, it seems like you did so with relatively little hesitation. Why was that? I'm not saying an easy decision, but something that you did just almost so matter-of-factly.
Yeah. I was still playing high school basketball, and I went up for a rebound. It was my first game where I was like, I think I was going to start varsity that night. I was a sophomore. I went up for a rebound, and on the way down, a kid got up underneath my arm. So my arm was like atrophied. I couldn't move it, but I could feel it. They did this surgery. Oh, this is funny. Well, they did a, well, it's kind of funny. I don't know. It's kind of morbid. But they did a surgery when I was like 5 years old. They tried to save my arm. So they took a nerve out of my leg and they put it in my neck. So like you can kind of see a scar and stuff. And I didn't get any movement back, but what I got was feeling in my arm, which was the worst possible outcome personally. Cause now like I would break it. I could feel it. Ooh, another thing that happened is I got restless leg syndrome in my neck. So that was also super cool.
What?
So the nerve, I found this out actually. I did a class at BYU. I had to do like my own anatomy study. So I studied the nerve cause I was like, why do I get nerve pain up here? And I found out it's the nerve that has restless leg syndrome. So I had, you know, random.
So what the heck?
What is going on? Restless leg syndrome.
Coach, I've got restless neck syndrome.
Coach,
give me
coach,
a second.
I'm messed up right now. Give me a second.
Jeez.
So anyway, I kept breaking my arm in basketball. I go up for that rebound. And I had broken it before this. I'd broken it 5 times already. Dislocated it twice.
So I went up for the rebound and a kid got underneath it. Another kid hit it on the other side. So like dislocation of the shoulder, elbow, and broken. And the nearest hospital was like an hour away. So I get in the car, and when you dislocate an arm like that, like I couldn't pop it back in. So it was stuck like straight out.
Jeez.
So I'm in the front seat of the car with my arm like stuck between my legs straight out. And my mom's driving and I finally like lean over. I'm like, Mom, could we just cut it off? She's like, I mean, yeah, if you want to, like, we always said that'd be your decision. If you want to amputate it, you can. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So we ended up amputating it after that year. So my junior, it was right after my junior year in baseball, we got it amputated. So, and jeez, looking back on it, it's kind of one of those things where athletically, I wish I would have done it earlier. Right. Just because of the injuries and stuff. Because when I used to break it, the doctors would say, well, there's like nothing we can really do. So I would put it in a sling, like around my stomach, and then just wrap like whatever that pre-wrap stuff, and then tape around it, and then I just go play with a broken arm. So it was like, geez, could have just not done this. So
obviously that was a big decision that you had to make in your life, but you've obviously lived a long life. What other moments have you considered to have life, like life altering experiences? Like what other experiences in your life have been life altering for you in your professional career, in your, academic career, whatever that is, besides obviously you having to amputate your arm?
You know, meeting my wife was huge. Obviously I've already talked about her, but she was like, she's been phenomenal. And she, you know, I think for every man, like, you got to find that. You have to, you know, like you need it. We need it as men. And then watching her be a mother and then becoming a father has been awesome. Recently. So my oldest son, he was just baptized yesterday.
Awesome.
That's part of the reason I shaved the beard. Because I was like, I better get cleaned up for this. So he's 8 years old. He has special needs. So he's nonverbal, autistic. But for me, you know, learning from him and like the struggles that he has and the challenges that he faces has been like completely life changing as far as the humility that it brings me and his gifts, you know, like the spiritual gifts that he has are pretty special. Because you look at those situations, and I think a lot of people probably felt this way about me as well. You know, like they felt like they were, which they were to their credit, like they were doing service for me, coaching me, helping me learn how to play baseball or basketball. They were definitely serving me. But I think years later they look back on it and they think, well, man, at the end of the day, he was a gift to us. And that's the way I feel about my son. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, man, everything I'm doing, I just serve him. I serve him, you know. And yesterday, you know, at his baptism, it was kind of like, oh, man, like, he's serving me. Like, he's the blessing. He's the gift to me in my life. So extremely grateful for him. And then our other two children, they're phenomenal. They're, each kid is their own, you know.
Like, yes.
How do you not believe in the plan of salvation and, like, the premortal existence? Once you're a parent, it's, like, blatantly obvious. Like, dude, this, like, our daughter is awesome. She's perfect. She's the perfect sibling for our kids. She's a competitor. She's, like, everything you would ever wish for. And then my youngest is, like, a complete monster. So it's like, all right, well, here we go. You know, just, like, but in a good way. He's going to be a lot of fun to raise, but he's also, like, you're a crazy child. So, but I love being a dad. I, like, love being a father. And to be able to do it with my wife is great. All those things have kind of built into, you know, those are the things, I think, the moments that you're like, oh, wow, like, this is a big difference maker for me in my life. It's helped me become who I am.
That's well so said great. From Porter Ellett. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to call time out here while we're feeling good right now after some incredible stories. We'll take a time out and come back with your outlook on the Chiefs and some open gym questions. You're not done yet, Porter. Okay. Okay.
Yep, I'm here.
Some people want the smoke in their questions. Okay?
Oh, let's go then.
I'm here for it.
All right, we'll be back with more and the Open Gym segment on From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette in just a moment. Today's show is powered by Eddie, because good work deserves to be celebrated. Eddie makes HR simple so small businesses can focus on what really matters, their people.
From hiring and onboarding to payroll and culture, Eddie helps teams run smoothly and reminds us that behind every business, there's a story worth celebrating.
From the Logo continues. Porter Ellett is our VIP guest, assistant coach, three-time Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs. And not surprisingly, you want him to answer some questions. And with that said, we get into our open gym segment. But I want to take my shot too, if that's okay, Porter, and start off with a banger of a question, because I know somebody, if not millions, have already asked you this question, but we need your perspective. Not many organizations could handle the onslaught of media and the power of the Swifties army, yet the Chiefs feel like they're geared for it, man. So from your unique perspective, how has it been that the Chiefs have handled the excitement that comes around the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift relationship and everything that goes with it?
Yeah. That's good. I think the way that Travis has handled it has been amazingly important as far as, like, the team's approach, because he loves football. So he sees football as, like, a refuge and a place to go to work. Now, he hasn't, like, hidden from it or anything. It's up front. He answers questions and, like, he's cool with the guys. But they've made it, like, as normal as possible. Like, she comes to games. They hang out with the other players after games. Like, it's been amazing that way. It doesn't hurt. Also to have, like, Coach Reed, which is, it's all football all the time. And then the fact that he, like, knew her dad and knew her before Travis did is also helpful, because he's already, like, friends with the Swift family and stuff. So that's been good. But I mean, we're in the middle of the country. It's a smaller city. It's a smaller media market. And then we have a bunch of dudes that just love playing football. So I think that's the way that we've handled it. You know, like, all right, we're just going to go play football, worry about everything else later. So it's been fun, though, man. I loved having more girls involved in football, watching games. And I mean, I have a daughter that's 6 and she loves football. So I hope that continues.
Yeah, I want to throw one question out there, too, real quick, before we get to some of our questions from Instagram, from some of our viewers. But, you know, you've been around Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, you know, Coach Reed, a lot of these guys for a long time. And to be able to be this great for this long is very difficult. I'm curious of what's their mindset every day. Like, what does that look like? What makes them so great on a day-to-day basis? Because I know it doesn't just happen, you know, it doesn't happen just because they're talented. There's a lot of players out there that are super talented, that work hard, but it's mindset. It's the day-to-day grind. It's the routine. I want to know a little bit about that and why it makes them so great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You kind of hinted to it, but consistency is key with sustained success. Like, you have to be consistent at what you're doing. And consistency is helped by loving what you do, which I said a few minutes ago, but they love football and they love winning. They love competing. A lot of these guys are just like kids when they come in here. You know, they're excited for the next opponent. They're excited for the plays come in. They're excited to see how we're going to attack these great teams that we play every week. Like, they love what they do and they're excited about it. And then they want to compete every day. Like, they want to compete against their teammates. They want to compete with each other. In every way that they can. But their greatness, I think, it's pretty special as far as what they do and the teammates that they are. So that's probably the other part of it, is they're an exceptional teammates. They do so much to help their teammates be better. And they care about their teammates. Like, I was always shocked with Travis, because I threw like the footballs to them at practice when we were doing like slide drills, individual drills. For 3 or 4 years, it might have been even 5 years, but I would throw to them. And I was always shocked by how willing Travis was to share all his knowledge with rookies and with like new guys coming in. Like, he never hesitated to give them everything. Like, they would ask him, what do you do on this route? Or what do you do for this block? And he would like, this, like, give them everything and then show them. And it was always like, man, you just got like $1 million worth of a lesson in 10 minutes, you know? Like, people would pay their whole life's earnings to get what you got in 10 minutes. And he was always so willing to do that. And Chris Jones the same way, Pat's the same way. Like, they just want to help everybody be great. So it's special. And then you have coaches around, you know, that are willing to sacrifice to help put them in positions to be successful, you know, like spend extra time and try to prep for it. So we're fortunate with the people that we have in the building.
Okay, just a quick follow-up before we get to the first Instagram question, Porter, and that is, because you've been rather recently promoted, what are your responsibilities with the Chiefs this season and the new title that you will be carrying?
Yeah, good. I'm an assistant special teams coach, so I help with all the special teams. So field goal blah, kickoff return, punt return. And with those units, which has been awesome because I get to work with offensive guys, defensive guys. I get to, you know, be a part of all that. And then Dave Tobe, our special teams coordinator, he is arguably the greatest special teams coordinator ever. Like, he's awesome to work with. He's a great mind. He's great at what he does. And so he's dragging me along, you know, teaching me everything. So super grateful for him and just, you know, try to make him look as good as possible. You know, if he gives me an assignment, I just try to do the best I can with it. But he's given me a lot of room to like coach and teach, which has been really fun that he trusts me with that. So that's what I'm doing this year. So if, that's, you know, great. If we, hey, do, we do great at that stuff, hopefully this year, that'll be good.
I'll be watching for it. But hey, special teams wins games.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Teams wins games. We all know that.
That's why Tobe always, talks about. No one cares about us till they need us to win a game.
Till you need us to win a game. That's how it works.
Listen, when there's a game-winning field goal or a touchdown scored on special teams or some trick play, Porter, I'm going right to social media and I'm giving you all the credit, dude.
Funny, man. No, give it all to Tobe, man. All the players.
All right.
That's awesome.
Now to the first submission from social media. This from @Seth_La_Pierce, who asks on Instagram, and you've already shared a few of these, but he wants to know, what is your best Andy Reid story?
When I first got here, things were different. Kind of like when we would fly the combine and stuff, we would fly Southwest. So we would like sit in the terminal, wait for our flight, and just, you know, Southwest. So you don't get assigned seats like anything. So we'd be sitting in the terminal like randomly. We were in Indianapolis and there's like media people and like everybody down there for the combine. And you could see people avoiding these media people because they knew who they were. And coach didn't like avoid any of them. He was like, cool, and fun. But one guy came and sat by him to start asking him questions. And I remember coach had like an hour long conversation with him about the best way to cook mac and cheese. And the dude went off, the reporter went off and wrote a whole story about it. Like, you can find it online, Coach Reid's mac and cheese.
But it was like just awesome to me. I was like, this guy is the best. And then we went to the Senior Bowl early on in my time here. And the Senior Bowl is in Alabama. And it's a very like open forum. Like, you know, coaches go down to watch these prospects and stuff. So we're sitting in the stadium and it's just open. Like, there's no security. There's no, like, if people are in there. And coach, like, these people are walking up to coach and saying, like, hey, coach, I'm so-and-so. Could I get your number? And I was like, yeah, I mean, what is happening here? Like, these people, should I stop them? You know, I'm like, am I supposed to be security?
Right.
And they're asking for his phone number and he's just handing out his phone number. And at first I was like, this has got to be a fake, you know? So right. I'm like opening my phone and I'm looking and he's giving them his phone. So as we were leaving, I was like, coach, like, is that something we should do? Like, should I stop that? Should I what? And he's like, everybody has this phone number. It's fine. I can ignore him if I want to, or I can call him back. But I was like, this is amazing. Like, how
that's so funny.
He's just so like, just cool with people, you know, like, yeah. He's just the coolest yeah. guy ever. Like,
yeah.
And those people probably text him and he probably sends them like cool messages. Like, hey, yeah, man, appreciate you reaching out. Yeah. Like, so good for them for having the guts to ask, you know, and it was like a good reminder for me, like, you know, go ask, like, what do you have to risk? You might as well, you know, shoot your shot.
Yeah, no, I love that. All right. Well, next question we got here is from at @NickBarlow_and_co on Instagram. He said he was in an accident and nearly lost his hand and it affected his livelihood for and more so his attitude. It was definitely a dark stretch for him. He wants to know, how do you remain so positive and happy throughout life's hardest trials?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a choice at the end of the day. To choose to be positive. I mean, I went through like those dark times and I tried to be, I figured out that being negative is not a good, like, that's the snowball effect you don't want to be a part of. Like, you have a bad day and you have another bad day, you have another, like, you just spiral down. And honestly, like, that's one of the greatest tools of Satan is to just keep feeding you like negative stuff about yourself. So for me, I mean, I've walked that path that he's talking about, you know, where you feel lonely, you feel sad, you feel, you know, there's dark times there. But, I mean, you just got to choose to make light of it. I mean, obviously, like, everything's a joke to me. I mean, not a joke. Like, it's not a joke. Like, there's things in life that are serious, but eventually you have to make it comedy or else it'll kill you. So you just choose to laugh it off or smile or, you know, and find people that'll laugh with you, you know, like that have the kind of sense of humor where they're like, I mean, that's messed up, but it's hilarious.
All right, Porter, let's get to our third and final submission. This from at David B. Holiday, also in on Instagram, who asks, Porter, in a left-handed 3-point shooting competition, how many points do you beat Jimmer by?
I don't know. Probably none, man.
No,
have they seen Jimmer shoot?
That's a great question. I, you know, I am not great at shooting with my left hand. I will say that I think you are going to beat me, Porter. I mean, I'll do the best I can, but the form changes when it gets into the left hand. I will tell you that much. My elbow isn't in as much. The follow through isn't as good. It's just, it's everywhere. So there's no way. There's no way. Yeah.
It's funny, man. It's interesting because people will say that kind of stuff all the time about like football. Like, man, could you pick up a yard in the NFL as a running back? Like stuff like that. I always defer to like, no, the professional athlete wins. Like Jimmer, to me, Jimmer could kick the basketball and make more than I could. Like, I'm a solid shooter. I'm a good shooter. Like, I could hustle people probably. Like in a playground, I could probably go make some money. I probably do pretty well. But I'm not a professional shooter. Then that's the same thing with these football players. It's like, nah, man, like they will make it look easy on TV. These guys are professionals. They get paid to do what they do.
That is fantastic.
I take
it's a different level. It's
I take
a different
Jimmer
level.
With his left hand, his left foot, his right foot.
All right, brother. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I appreciate that.
To wrap things up, just give us a 30-second outlook on the Kansas City Chiefs season.
Man, we're going to play hard every week. So we got a tough schedule every week. We have a great team we're going to go against. We're going to give it our best. We got the guys in the building to have success. We have great leadership, great coaches.
But we're going to go out, we're going to play hard, and we're going to compete every week. And hopefully we put on a show for people. I mean, a lot of people tune in to watch us. So we'll try to make sure we're not wasting your time. And the people that stand up for us and are fans of us, hopefully we can make your Monday mornings or the day after the games enjoyable. So that's the goal. You know, everybody, we want everyone who's a Chiefs fan smiling. So that's the goal for us. You know, but well, Pat and those guys, everybody said it. I mean, here, like, if we want to win Super Bowls, and if we don't, we think we failed. So that's the goal. You know, win the division, win the conference, win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, you guys make a lot of people happy. I'll tell you that much. You guys have in the last several seasons. You guys have done such an incredible job there. It's testament to the work ethic all you guys have been doing. So we appreciate that. And I know the Chiefs fan appreciate that. And, you know, also, you know, if anyone else wants to submit any questions to me, Spencer, any of our guests as we go through the show, where we love this segment, make sure you follow us on at JimmerFTL on Instagram. And you can also, you know, send those questions in using the hashtag at OpenJimFTL. So you can get those questions submitted for our guests like Border, who just crushed all these questions. So we appreciate you, man.
Thanks for the questions, all you people out there.
Porter, you're the best, man. We seriously appreciate you spending so much time with us during a busy part of your schedule and the ramp up to the NFL season. We're proud of you. We're excited to know you and can't wait for you and that Chiefs special teams squad to do some amazing things this year.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope we do some amazing things. So. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
You guys
are the best.
Anytime you want to hustle Jimmer in a competition so that he can lose to the one-arm guy, let's go, man.
Let's do it.
Everybody will call it a WWE scripted event.
Man, they scripted that. Oh, great stuff. Porter, be well, man. We'll talk again soon.
Yep, see you.
All right, the 3x3 update is up next on From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette, presented by Eddie, continues. This break is sponsored by Eddie, the HR software with a soul. We're not just building tools to manage people. We're helping businesses create workplaces where people feel seen, valued, and inspired.
Eddie is proud to support the stories on From the Logo because the stories we share celebrate the soul. Kyle Van Noy and his foundation supporting foster care, Jeremy Guthrie, who is constantly serving people in every aspect of his life. It just fits together because Eddie is about people and the everyday wins that make work meaningful.
Let's keep it rolling on From the Logo with our USA Basketball 3x3 update. GM Jimmer is back for more and has the latest on the drive to gold in 2028. His 3x3 team's doing work across the globe as he did not too long ago. So let's get to the update and maybe more specifically your rule of the week to help fans get more acclimated with a very quickly growing sport, Jimmer.
Yes, our guys are, first of all, GM Jimmer. I mean, it's got to stick a little bit, right? Like,
it ain't going anywhere for me.
It's not going anywhere here. I like that, man. If I ever decide, hey, I want to be a GM for a team, that's what I'm going to go in, is that you have to call me GM Jimmer. But all right. So today, our guys, they're trekking across the world. They are going to Mongolia for their next tournament. And Sansar in Mongolia, which I've been there a few times. It's definitely an interesting place. Ulaanbaatar, I think they say Ulaanbaatar, is a very great city. Mongolia is a big place, but I think there's about one and a half million people in the city of Ulaanbaatar. And then everything else is pretty much land. Right, like there's nothing else. It's that and then land, as far as you can see. It's a cool experience to go to. They love Mongolia. 3x3 basketball is their number one sport in Mongolia.
Who knew?
Isn't that crazy?
What,
number one sport in Mongolia? I mean, unbelievable. They love it. They're getting pretty good at it, so they hold a ton of events. So good luck to our guys out as they go out there. Rule of the day: so in 3x3 basketball, you don't have a coach. You cannot have a coach coaching you while you're playing. Okay, so you're four guys out there and your coach is sitting in the stands. It's very much like tennis used to be. where they have to sit in the stands and they can cheer you on, but they cannot coach. And they will give you a warning and technical fouls if they see you coaching from the sidelines. So it's very much a player-driven sport. I think it started that way because of the expense of having to bring a coach. Like when they started, a lot of these teams just kind of formed and they're like, well, we have four guys and we go play, but we don't have a coach. So because of that, I think they just liked it and were like, we're not going to have a coach. So we're sitting, you know, you're playing in the Olympics, you have no coach. They basically just talk to you before the game. They give you the game plan. But then once you're out there, you're out there. And it's very much a thinking man's game. You have to be able to understand what your game plan is. And then if that game plan goes completely wrong, which it does some of the time, being able to make adjustments while you're tired, just the four of you to be able to do that is not easy. Like you're out there, you're huffing and puffing, you're unbelievably tired, and you're not really thinking straight. So to be able to try to coach yourself is not an easy thing. So only the most veteran teams, the best teams are at really good at that. And most of the time your coach is the person that's sitting out at that time, right? They're sitting on the bench, they're hanging out, and they can see the game a little bit better than what you are as you're playing. And they're a little bit more well-rested. So that person that comes in, a lot of times they'll call the defensive scheme or the offensive play or whatever it is that they're seeing. So that, you know, that's kind of like your de facto coach on the court at that time. So interesting rule, makes it a lot of fun. Not fun to be a coach because you can't do anything about it. Once you get out there, you're just like, I hope you guys win. That's all it is. So it's pretty crazy. So that's our rule for the day. And much more come here on USA Basketball 3x3 GM Jimmer segment.
Let's go. Fascinating stuff. Last week it was a 12-second shot clock, which you, yep, in your own words said, it's actually more time than you think. 12 seconds feels so fast. But you got to do that with no coach. Great stuff, yep, Jimmer, as always. Yep. What a great podcast. Any final thoughts as we close out the latest edition of From the Logo?
Nah, just thanks to Porter again. He's very, very much an inspiration, you know, to myself and to everybody out there. I mean, to go through what he has gone through and to be in the position where he is today and his persistence. And we got to get into his mind a little bit of how that looked from a perspective. There's a competitor in there and it is pretty insane to see, and still trying to be a good person and live like Christ, and just great things from Porter. So we appreciate him being on the pod.
Well said, and we will do our best to find that Andy Reid mac and cheese recipe and post it somewhere on our socials if, yes, we can track it down. Yes. Oh, so many good stories from Porter Ellett. A quick thanks to our sponsor Eddie for all that they do to support the podcast, and can't wait to do it again, my friend.
Let's do it. Thank you, everyone.
Shoot your shot, people. We'll see you on the next episode.